WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RecRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night, which means we're here to talk sports, entertainment, professional wrestling. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, call the WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive. To interact with us live here tonight, as we got things to talk about.
Yeah, we do. We got stuff to get into tonight. We got news, we got notes, we got Saturday night's main event. So I say we jump right into the news, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. It's YouTube.com/MBG1211. I'm gonna save the top one for last.
Because sure.
I want to rant on that just a tad. just a smidge. So WWE is partnering with Montreal-based Seagram's to launch 3 canned drinks, marking WWE's first licensed ready-to-drink alcohol products. As part of the multi-year partnership creating the Seagram's Escapes Spiked WWE series, save that 5 times fast, Seagram's will receive sponsorship on prominent LED signage such as the ring skirt and ring posts, and in-show sponsored graphics during one match at Money in the Bank. We can get drunk with wrestler drinks, y'all.
Yeah, the official alcoholic drink for WWE, besides, you know, Cody's vodka and everything like this. This is the first one that's gonna have WWE stuff on it, I guess. Yes, it'll be featured on Money in the Bank and Survivor Series and SummerSlam, all the big events.
You know what would be really cool is, like, for the launch, if they do, like, special cups for it. Not, like, the just the standard ones, but, like, the actual molded cups of like the different of like the different wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
and you get the cup with the drink. That would be cool. That could be fun. Like I have a Kane water bottle that's actually like in the shape of Kane, so you know that could be cool. Like you do something like that.
I mean they could
cross promotion, y'all. It's a thing. It's
yeah.
totally a thing.
Yeah, totally a thing.
But anyway, that's pretty cool. And congratulations to Seagrams as they join in the WWE sponsorships,
including next one.
And we're rolling right on through with sponsorships and partnerships, because WWE and Zenni Optical, the world's leading online eyewear retailer, announced a multi-year partnership that will designate Zenni as the official eyewear partner of WWE. I didn't know that was a thing. Apparently, y'all, it's a thing.
Apparently, it's a thing.
Under the new partnership, WWE will integrate Zenni with a variety of premium live events, including SummerSlam and Survivor Series, and collaborate with WWE on custom social and digital content featuring WWE superstars. Further, Zenni will introduce a specially curated line of eyewear products and accessories featuring WWE designs and themes and styles for both adults and kids. Fans will be able to customize selected frames, choose from both prescription and non-prescription options, as well as a range of lenses technology, including Blox Blue lighting, light blocking, light adaptive IQ lens, polarized sunglasses, and more. Do they do transitions? That's what I want to know. Can I get transitions lenses? Because that's what I have now.
Matt uses Zenni. It's not that bad if you don't have the vision insurance or just want a backup pair. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
Sold. Get some WWE glasses.
Go get you your wrestling specs.
Soon.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I need to go get my checks, by the way. Probably wouldn't hurt.
But yeah, they're launching it of eyewear partners, alcohol beverages. They're doing pretty much everything.
The proverbial door is open for sponsorships and partnerships, and this is somewhat groundbreaking because WWE, they have done limited sponsorships in the past, they've done limited partnerships in the past, but they've never done stuff like this. And so they're opening and broadening their horizons to other avenues of income and revenue, where it's okay, let's do an official eyewear partner, right? Let's have our superstars modeling the glasses and talking them up and doing that kind of thing, you know, the ready to make drinks. Those don't have to be sold at event spaces. Those can be sold in grocery stores, just like pretty much every other product they make. But in particular, at least here in Georgia, I don't know about where everybody else lives, but here we can get the ready-to-drink alcohol products in the store, like in the grocery store. I could go down to Publix right now and get it. So it's just another way of them expanding their reach into pop culture and into the world, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the name of the game with them right now. Getting the brand awareness.
They want that money, 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 money.
Money, brand awareness, growth, all the keywords.
It's like they thought about this shit. On Wednesday, May 29th, Amazon MGM, which is insane, by the way, that Amazon bought MGM, revealed the first poster for The Pickup, a new heist comedy film starring Kiki Palmer, Pete Davidson, Eddie Murphy, and more notably, Roman Reigns. In addition to the poster, the studio revealed that the film will hit Amazon Prime Video on Wednesday, August 6th. So, Roman's foray into Hollywood. He's done little stuff here and there. He's been in his cousin's movies, but this is him being on his own in a movie for the first time.
With Eddie Murphy and Pete Davidson and stuff.
Nothing to be, you know, sad about there.
I don't know how big of a role it is, but he has a role in the movie, so... Congrats to him.
You gotta start somewhere, you know? You really do.
Just like the next person,
because Kathy Kelly, WWE's premier backstage interviewer, is making her film debut in the indie action comedy Karate Ghost. She plays a sharp and stressed legal counsel to a clueless, karate-obsessed mayor, played by none other than Jim Belushi. I'm sober, right?
Yes.
I'm sober, right? Like I read that sober because I feel like that's something I shouldn't be reading sober.
Yeah.
I mean, good for her. Congratulations to her. I'm happy that she's able to branch out, but that whole blurb right there. That's a thing. That happened.
It happens. It's a thing. It's how people get their start.
Well, what I like about these two stories, and also the Liv Morgan story, is that WWE seems to be more open to their talent doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, they want it.
They encourage it. That's something that hasn't necessarily happened in the past. They have allowed their talent to do stuff like this. but I feel like it was very limited. And from every interview you hear about it, it sounded like it was kind of pulling teeth to get the permission to do it. And now WWE is like, yeah, go ahead. Go off. You do you.
Because it used to be a WWE was a full-time running promotion. Weekend house shows, live event, all the live events across the world. Now it's TV focused. People have more time to do things, and they want brand awareness and build your brand. So
the fact that they're allowing talent to pursue other avenues in all directions, I still don't know about the streaming. I don't know how where they are with the streaming or with the content creation. I think they let them do content creation in very limited capacities still. But the fact that they are allowing the talent to explore different avenues is really good for them. And I love that for them, and the fact that they're going to let that happen. Because how many times have we seen somebody be like, oh, well, I'm leaving because I want to pursue XYZ, and they're not going to let me do that. And going over here will let me do that.
Yeah.
So it's one, it benefits them because it's talent retention. And two, it benefits them because they're going to be mentioned with the person's name. It's not Roman Reigns or Joseph Anoa'i. I hope I said that right. I don't think I did.
No, you did.
Apologies. Oh, I did? Okay, good. It's going to be WWE superstar Roman Reigns. And that's the key. It's like when Liv Morgan, when her movie comes out, it's not going to be whatever her real name is. It's going to be WWE superstar Liv Morgan. And that's really key, because they get that little bump from being in that project. Because at least for the Roman project, I don't know how big Kathy Kelly's is, but that's going on Amazon Prime. It's being produced by MGM. That's not small peanuts. It's nope. Not like the WWE movies of old where they were, you know, low budget, action-packed movies that were, they tried. Actually, I shouldn't say they tried. The Miz owned the hell out of the Marine. Like, they gave him that and he just ran with it.
He did.
He's like, I'm just going to keep doing these because I keep getting paid to do these. So I'm just going to keep doing these. But like all the WWE Studios films, like some of them weren't bad, but some of them weren't good. So this is a completely new thing for them in terms of like letting their talent do this more freely. And like I said, I love that because it's not just reserved for, you know, just wrestling talent. You know, Kathy Kelly gets to go off and do something, which is cool.
Yeah.
So WWE is set to air a taped episode of SmackDown to begin July because, you know, there's a holiday. PPG Paints Arena announced that the June 30th Raw will double as a taping for SmackDown.
It's going to be a long one.
It's going to be a 6-hour show at minimum. Because Raw's 3 hours, well, 2.5, and then
2.5. What? Well, it would be a little bit less than that. I would expect Raw to be a little shorter, and then SmackDown, you just insert commercials. So you get it done in 4 hours. Because it's going to be in Pittsburgh.
It's still a long show.
In Pittsburgh. So it's an early taping. So Raw will probably be live to tape. Probably start a little early. Local. And then it'll just air a lot, you know, how it goes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're giving them a 4th of July off because they'll be coming back from Saudi at that point, and that'll be the first show back. So it'll be a long
time to recover.
It'll be a long week, so they'll get some time off. So that'll be good for them.
That will be good for them. And last but not least, because we're talking about Saturday night's main event later in the show, let's talk about the next Saturday night's main event, which is taking over Atlanta, because it's not just Saturday night's main event. The NXT Great American Bash is going to be on Sunday, July 12th from Center Stage. Why? Saturday night's main event is going to be at State Farm Arena on July 13th. That's a Sunday. And then WWE Evolution will also be at State Farm Arena, I'm assuming, on the 13th as well. The 12th or the 13th. I'm not sure.
It says it right there.
Okay.
You skipped over the word Sunday, July 13th.
No.
Yeah.
I said main event on Sunday, July 13th.
No, it was Saturday. Yeah, doesn't matter.
Anyway.
Continue.
It doesn't matter. I can read. The dates aren't important. It's very cool they're bringing it here. It's very cool they're going to have 3 events here on that weekend. Like, I'm thrilled about that. What I am not thrilled about, ladies and gentlemen, is the ticket prices.
Oh, wait. I thought it's not the fact that there's a Beyonce concert right that entire weekend too in Atlanta at the new big stadium
at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, Beyonce's there.
That's gonna make traffic extra fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Mercedes-Benz and State Farm are pretty much right next to each other.
So
that will make parking expensive.
So you know, WWE may be the cheaper ticket.
If you can get Beyonce tickets. Good luck getting Beyonce tickets.
Yeah.
I seriously consider going to Saturday night's main event at State Farm because I was like, you know what? They're coming. It's on a Saturday, so I can go and I don't have to worry about work and I can, you know, have Sunday to recover and, you know, it'll all be good. I went and looked at the ticket prices because they did a pre-sale for people in Atlanta. The cheapest ticket I could find on Ticketmaster without any fees, just the price of the ticket. And I am talking nosebleed, the very last row at the very top of the arena, all the way in the back, on away from the ring, like not even like fate necessarily ring, what you would consider like hard camera, like the big bowl section, all the way in the back, were $123 a shot. $123 for nosebleeds. For State Farm Arena, I was like, oh, no, sir. No, we're not doing that. I looked at the bowl, like the lower bowl. They're anywhere from 300 to 500 and ringside, like the first couple rows, are over $1,000 for one ticket.
Premium seating?
One ticket is over $1,000. I was like, what are you all doing? I mean, and this was for the package. So I don't know if the prices are going to change because this is non-package. But like for the package tickets, for the pre-sale that they were offering, those were the prices. That is insane. That is an absolutely insane amount of money. And I know I'm old, okay? I accept the fact that I have crossed into that realm of being old. But I remember when you could sit on the floor for $100.
Yep.
For WWE.
Yep.
For a pay-per-view, you could sit on the floor and it was actually under $100. You could get ringside, I think, for like $200. I remember that. And now you're telling me that all the way in the back of the arena is $123? Like, I know they'll get it. I know people will pay for it. But damn, y'all, that's expensive in this economy. No, I'll sit at home in the comfort of my jammies and watch it.
But you could spend $123?
Actually, with tickets and fees, it's probably with the fees from Ticketmaster, it's probably going to be close to $200.
For $200,
once you add in all the tickets.
But just imagine spending $200 to be there, State Farm Arena, Saturday night's main event, to see the last and final contractual obligation.
I'll sit at home and watch it. Thanks. because here's the thing, that $200 does not include things like parking, which is going to be at a premium. It doesn't include things like food, which again will be at a premium because you're pretty much either going, you're probably not going to be able to get into a restaurant down there because there aren't a lot of choices right by the arena of where to eat. So you either have to eat in the arena or you have to eat before you go down there. So you add all of that on top of it. So now you're probably looking like at a $300 night for nosebleeds. Nosebleeds. That's what I'm offended about. It's not necessarily the pricing. Like, I don't mind paying for good tickets. Like, if it's a good seat, I don't mind paying over, you know, 200, in that range, 200 to 300, if it's a good ticket, if it's a good seat. Like, I've done that before. I can justify that. I can't do it for nosebleeds. I'm sorry. I can't do it for shit seats. Like, if I could get the seats for like $50, sure, I'll think about it. I'll seriously think about it. But like, once you add everything together, you're looking at like a $300 night just to go to wrestling, not including driving down there or anything like that, and then fighting traffic on the way back, which is a whole other issue with me. Because if you know me, I don't leave my house after 5 o'clock because I don't want to deal with traffic. So, yeah, it's kind of a thing. It's kind of a whole thing that I find somewhat offensive. Like, they need to do them, they need to secure the bag, but I feel like maybe the ticket prices could come down just a smidge, just a little bit, just because you are, and maybe that's the point, pricing people out of your events a little bit.
You say that, but everyone's paying it.
Like I said, that could be intentional, that they only want people of a certain income level attending these events, and if that's the case, that's on them. I don't want to say that's good or that's bad, because it goes either way. Like, it's obvious that they are targeting a very specific demographic and a very specific income level. for the product that's abundantly clear with everything that they're doing. And so, yeah, they're pricing people out because they don't want a certain demographic there. And I'm not trying to imply anything by saying that. But like there's an income threshold there that they want to meet to have people come is the better way to say that. And it is what it is. It's business. I don't agree with it at all because I think it should be something that's open to everyone. But they also have to stay true to their business model in order to make a profit, in order to keep running. So it's like a double-edged sword, which sucks. Let's see. LeMann says it could be a bad thing because I feel like people with the higher income will be the ones that are more silent at shows. I don't know about that. Like, I don't want to infer that people aren't going to enjoy themselves and aren't going to have a good time and aren't going to be loud, because I think part of that depends on who's out there to get that reaction from the crowd. Plus, I think we all know that they are pumping in chants to an extent.
No.
I would almost bet that they are in some cases.
No, not lately. Hasn't been a thing for a while now. When you look at it like this, they're with them doing limited events now. It becomes a more premium ticket to your city. So it has to become this special thing for you to go. So crowds will still be loud because this is the one opportunity of the year that you can go. And you're not going to waste it by being silent. You're going to be loud because you're paying. Because let's be real. Football fans, basketball fans, sports fans in general, when they pay their premium ticket price, because they're expensive too, are still loud.
Yeah.
So the price of the ticket is not going to change how loud the person is. You just got to be more thoughtful in terms of like where and when you spend your money. And one time a year, you want to go to see professional wrestling, then you spend your money. And if you don't have it, you don't have it. You go to AEW because they're a cheaper ticket right now.
But they don't, they at least for here, they don't necessarily book in a, what I would term a convenient location, like doing it downtown at Center Stage and State Farm. That is a more convenient, I'm using that very loosely in quotations, option for people because you have ways to get there and back. At least for State Farm, Center Stage is a little bit more tricky because you can't take the mass transit lines down to Center Stage. You have to like take a train down and then take a bus. At least for me, I live north of the city. So for me, I have to think about that when I'm going to go downtown, or I have to drive down. And then for something like Center Stage, parking is very tricky. That's why I don't like Center Stage. I don't necessarily have a problem with the venue. It's just the parking kind of sucks, like hardcore sucks. So it's not my favorite place that they go, because I went when they had NXT there and it was like, it was fine. But like in terms of State Farm, they are very thoughtful about hosting it downtown and having it down there where people can get to it, because there's like a MARTA station right there at State Farm Arena that you can just get on and get off. You just go to the CNN Center. That's all you do. What was the CNN Center? It's not the CNN Center anymore because they sold it. But it's much more convenient than what AEW is doing, because with AEW, where they were running, if I remember correctly, you can take a train down to College Park, but you have to then take a bus or you have to get an Uber, and then you have to go to the building, and then you have to do the same thing back. And okay, I'm going to go on a tangent. I'm sorry. I'm going on a tangent. MARTA, which is our mass transit system here in Atlanta, their schedule kind of sucks. Because at least they used to, I think they've gotten better about it, but they used to shut down specific lines at like 11 o'clock or midnight, depending on when you get out of the event, which for WWE, that isn't necessarily a problem because they end earlier now. So you can still catch the trains that go either north, south, east, or west. But back in the day, like for me, I have to take a specific line to get up to my area, because if it goes north, it splits where it's either going to go east or west. And, you know, you take your line. Well, the one that I would always have to take, which shut down at like 11 o'clock at night. And then you had to wait. If you missed that train, because there was one train running, you had to wait an hour for it to come back because it was the airport train that was running. That was it. That was the only train that was going up my way. So it was either you take a train or you find a taxi, because this is in the days before Uber. But you find a taxi to take you up there, or you just drive, which is why I ultimately just drive to this stuff, because taking the mass transit system is not convenient at all. It's easier to drive down there, find a parking spot, and go to the event and then leave. Plus, I can stop for food on my way home, which is always good. But yeah, major tangent, major sidebar there. But if you're interested in going, tickets are on sale, I believe, as of either tomorrow or they are on sale now for the events in Atlanta. So Saturday night's main event will be at State Farm Arena. NXT will be at Center Stage, and then WWE Evolution will be on Sunday at State Farm Arena.
There you go.
We got our dates straight.
There you go.
So with that, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking about this past Saturday night's main event, which was Saturday night. We'll review the show and give you all the results and our thoughts. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the Evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post-show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line!
Did you know that you can use support a creator code RockSock in the Fortnite item shop? That's RockSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hey, this is Gail Kim, TNA Knockout, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
Hey,
welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the other way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And we were just talking about, well, I don't know, talking was necessarily involved. It's more like griping. But we were just talking about Saturday Night's Main Event, which is going to be in Atlanta in a few months. But now, right now, we need to talk about the Saturday Night's Main Event that aired live on May 24th from Tampa, Florida. And this, from top to bottom, was just a fun little show. I should say little, but it was a fun show.
It was a fun show. It was a fun two-hour watch. Could a match have been a little bit longer? Yes. Could people have complained about ads even longer? Yes. But it's network television. You're going to get ads. You've always gotten ads. And it's primetime real estate television on a Saturday night. They're going to load them up. It's kind of how it worked. You get 44 minutes an hour or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
22 and 22 for 44 minutes. So you get like 60 minutes of ads. Spread out over an hour. That's kind of network television stable. You see it on NXT. They fill it with ads, but you're not. They kind of pace it a little differently. But that's also the CW. You have a little bit more freedom of how you run your ads. This is NBC. You're gonna get them. We've always gotten them. It is what it is. I had no complaints with the ads. Some people did. The internet just complains about anything. But that's beside the point. But the show itself, the content you got was good.
The content was really good. I don't think I had the same level of ads. I don't know. I didn't really pay attention because I'm going to be completely honest. At this point, the ads just fade into the background for me. I watched this on Peacock. I didn't watch it on NBC, which is pretty much, it's basically the same thing. It's just one's network and one's streaming. But I didn't notice the ads at all, I'm going to be really honest. They were just kind of there. And when they were there, I just tuned out and did something else. And when the show came back, I was back. So it's like normal TV. You don't pay attention to the commercials.
Yeah. Young kids these days don't know how to deal with ads. Anyway, they know how to skip.
You know what? Back in my day, because I'm old, I remember when you couldn't pause and when you couldn't skip ads, where you had like a minute to do everything you needed to do, and you frequently came flying back over the back of the couch if your house was configured that way, because it was coming back on and you didn't want to miss anything. I remember those days.
Those were the days.
Those were the days, especially for stuff like this where it's like, it's on. But anyway, so we had 5 matches on this card. We had a last minute addition in the Women's United States Championships Friday into Saturday. But this show opened with the tag team match featuring Sami Zayn and CM Punk taking on Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker. This was a really, really strong opener. I enjoyed this quite a bit.
Yeah, it was very much enjoyable. I thought the match was really good. I thought the surprise of Big Bronson Reed showing up.
I don't think anybody was expecting that one.
No one was expecting that one. I thought he was still a couple months away from being able to return, but he's back. But no, it was these 4 men. What else do you expect? I like that they had matching gear.
Yes.
Looking like a team.
You know, put stuff together. It's all about the coordination. You got to coordinate. You got to look good together.
Yeah.
That's how this goes. But yeah, some of the highlights of the match were that Bronson Reed is back and he is officially with Seth's group, whatever they're going to be called. Paul Heyman also saw a little bit of action. He grabbed Sammy's foot at one point, but the ref didn't see it because he was a tad distracted. And then Breaker did what he does best. He hit a spear and got the pin on Sami Zayn, and we move forward in this feud. But this was like hot from the start. They started right away. There was no like real soaking in the moment. There was no, you know, sort of joshing. It was just, we're gonna fight. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, I thought so. It was what the match should have been, especially with the level of animosity that's been going on between all 4.
Yeah, because this is in the infancy stages. They had 2 weeks to put this together. They put together something, and this is what we got.
Yeah.
So you don't expect them to hit like any third gears. You don't expect like that. I think that's the one thing I can say about this show is I didn't, and this is gonna sound really mean, I'm sorry, but I didn't walk in with like any real high expectations for this show because the turn is so fast. It's like Money in the Bank. I don't really have a lot of expectations for it because the turn is so fast on it. That it's like, you know what, this is what it is, and I'm just going to enjoy what I want to enjoy out of it. And this is kind of the same thing. Like, the match was good. The match was fine. They put it together really nicely, and the right team won. Some people may disagree with me on that, but you're trying to establish Seth's group as three bronze and a Paul. Or actually, technically, two bronze and a Paul and a Seth. They need to name them.
They'll
can somebody name.
Name
them the Visionary? Can we just call them the Visionaries?
Sure.
The Visionaries. Because I don't know what else to call them. Like, just saying all of their names is like, eh.
Heyman's guys. Just call them Heyman's guys.
Paul Heyman guys. They're all Paul Heyman guys.
They're Paul Heyman guys, yeah.
They're trying to establish them as a heel faction. They're trying to get something going there to build Bronson and Braun up. They're using Seth and Heyman's clout to do that. So it's absolutely correct that they got the win, especially with somewhat nefarious means over Punk and Zayn. Plus, Punk and Zayn can come back and get their win anytime they want it. Like, it's not a big deal that they lost.
Yeah. No, they had to lose. If they won, then what's the point of the feud?
Exactly.
The babyfaces still need more time to get their revenge.
Exactly. And they'll get it. I imagine, you know, very soon, perhaps. But just a couple quick notes on, you know, notable moments and observations during this. We had the classic Saturday night theme that got very used. We had the red, white, and blue ropes. We had the ref uniforms. Punk hit a code red in this match.
I like the small entrance way they had this time. Like, they've been using it, but it's like it had a very old school feel, just the way they curved around and stuff. And they used it for all shows that weekend. That was good.
It was really good. Up next, this was the addition, the surprise addition from SmackDown. Zelina Vega defended her title against Chelsea Green. The two have been feuding over the U.S. title.
They have been. Chelsea wanted to get the belt back. We went in this Sunday. It was a little sloppy. Mm-hmm. Zelina fell a little off. And I don't know why, but some of the moves just didn't click. Like, especially towards the end. The 619 just, she messed that up. She got a little flustered on the top rope. There was just a couple spots that fell off. And they tried a different camera angle with this matchup, too, it felt like. It's a lot closer.
A little bit,
like,
yeah.
There was a different hard camera. Like, they were running a camera from the side of the ring to be, like, closer to the action. They were trying something with this one. So you could see the mess-ups, like, the little sloppiness a little bit more than you normally would if they were, like, zoomed out a little bit. Which mm-hmm. played a part in it feeling a little bit off. Beyond that, it was fine. Fine match for the time they had. Zelina retained, but yeah, I it felt a little sloppy towards the end. Like, they were not rushed. It was just like, it's just something didn't click, and Chelsea ended up with a broken nose, maybe, out of it. But
the visual of her, though, with like her the nose and the fact that she was all bloody and she's complaining about losing, like she just sold it. Like, it was like nothing. She just completely sold all the way through it, which was fantastic. But yeah, it was fine. I don't want to say it was awful, but it was fine. Like you said, I don't want to like rehash all of that, but there were issues and there were problems, and I don't want to blame anybody or attribute anything to that, but it was fine and it was okay. And it was kind of a last minute thing with everything else on this card. This was a last minute addition, and I don't think anybody was like really super duper hyped up for it. And if you were, I'm sorry, I apologize. But like, it was just kind of one of those things that it was there. It came, it went, it was sort of that cool down between the tag match and then the next match. So it was just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it did its job.
Yes.
But yeah, up next we have John Cena in his not his final-ish appearance for Saturday Night's Main Event, but a contractually obligated appearance for Saturday Night's Main Event, taking on Ron Cena, aka R-Truth. R-Truth coming out to in Cena's gear was just... I think he came out to Cena's music too, didn't he?
Yep, he did the Cena music, the old Cena color scheme when they were feuding. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this was well done. I know a lot of people dogged on this match. I know a lot of people weren't necessarily looking forward to this match, but John Cena's going to work who he's going to work. He's again just tying up loose ends. But for what this was really entertaining.
It was everything.
It wasn't a great wrestling match by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but it was everything I said it was going to be. It was Cena. R-Truth did Cena's moves.
Yep. He came out dressed as John Cena. He used Cena's entrance theme. He used his music. Cena hit a clothesline before the ref could call for the bell. So it started with Truth kind of on his back. And, you know, Cena looked absolutely... Like, Cena selling this and just being disgusted the entire time was so good.
Yeah.
And Truth got away from the AA. And hit his own, which was funny. And there was a little exchange where, like, Cena had the title belt. And like, he was going to hit Truth with it. And Truth's like, no, man, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't put it back. And Cena's like, all right, I'll put it back. And then he's like, yay, we did it. And everybody cheered. And then Cena turns around. And he's like, wham, with the title belt. It was all super good. And just from an entertainment perspective. From a wrestling perspective, it was what it was. Like, but again, speaking to expectations, I don't think anybody really had high, like, expectations for this.
John Cena can't work anymore. This is what you're going to get. Slow matches.
Like, it was fine.
Not going to be the 5-star classics or 4-star. His body's too beat up. He's on record and telling everyone this. He's beat up. He can't do this any much longer. He's going out one last time. It's the deal.
I'd like to point out that 2 weeks ago, he was going through tables with Randy Orton. So he's not going to do anything very strenuous with R-Truth. He just wants to go out there, have a good time, burn the appearance, and then move forward and give Truth a little rub. But I still maintain that Truth deserves his flowers. Like, again, nobody was shocked that it was LOL Cena wins, because I think everybody expected that. But it's like, at some point, I would like Truth to get his flowers, because he was fantastic in this. He did such a great job. They both did. And I kind of hope Truth gets that recognition at some point.
Mm-hmm. And he will.
And he will. Yeah. Just as a note, Jimmy Hart and Bushwhacker Luke were in the crowd. They had all the legacy talent there, which was cool to see. They kept, you know, spanning through the crowd and finding people, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And yeah. Up next, something that didn't go into the crowd, something that was pretty brutal, pretty fun. We had Drew McIntyre taking on Damian Priest in what we hope is the final time, I think. I don't know. I mean,
it should be the final. With Drew taking time off, it'll be the final time for now.
For now.
They did the concerto thing at the end, and then Damian walking out of the cage, just leaving him there, and Drew selling it all after. Because Drew's beat up. Apparently he's really banged up, and he's going to be taking time off from in-ring competition and television for a while, because he just needs to rest his body and get healthy again.
Yeah, which you do, you King. We'll be here when you come back. But we had a lot of back and forth. We had a lot of fighting. They were not gentle with each other by any means at all. The cage was used multiple times, pretty much almost immediately when the match started. We also saw, you know, Priest survive a claymore. He began to fight back. He began to give Drew chops, which he did not hold back on. McIntyre stole one of Priest's moves, South of Heaven, but he still couldn't get that win. That's when we saw the concerto happen and Priest pick up the victory. Like, this was good. This was a very nice sort of finish to this feud, and it maintained that intensity that they've had throughout.
Yeah, match of the night.
Easily, yeah. This was very well done. Just a couple of quick notes. On the back end, Cena did a good job with Jey Uso, kind of potentially teasing things for later, before Jey went out. And Jesse Ventura and Pat McAfee in commentary is an interesting combination.
It is.
Not sure I like it.
I like it.
Not sure I like it, but don't I do. Hate it.
I like it. It's chaos. It's good. It's good television.
It's good television. Okay. Cole was there too, referencing Edge on commentary, which I think a lot of people were surprised at, but Edge invented the move, the concerto. You can't just, you know.
Yeah, it's his move, yeah.
Yeah. And they refer to him as Edge, not Adam Copeland. So.
Correct, because they own Edge.
They own Edge. They own the copyright. They can edge everyone, which they did in this match, and it was not in the fun way. Closing the show was the match nobody wanted, but we all got. Mm-hmm. Jey Uso versus Logan Paul for the World Heavyweight Championship. I was really happy how this ended. The shenanigans at the end made me feel better about this match, because I think a lot of us were sitting here biting our nails going, oh God, please don't do it. Please don't put the title on Logan Paul. please don't do it. Because not a lot of people really want it. Just to kind of like go through it, Jay was about to pick up the victory. He was going to go for a splash. And then John Cena showed up. He pulled the ref out of the ring. He also attacked Jay, as, you know, Logan Paul was like, what are you doing? Why are you interfering? And then in a surprise return for the evening, Cody Rhodes came back and he came to the ring to fight off John Cena. Paul then missed Rhodes with the brass knuckles and he ate a spear for his trouble from Jay. Jay then hit another splash for the pin and the victory. And it looks like that these four are going to go on to Money in the Bank together and play not so nicely at Money in the Bank. But I mean, the match was fine. Like, there was a couple standout points in the match, but like overall it was just, it was good, it was fine. Like they didn't do anything extra special.
No, but they delivered a solid match for the to main event the show. There was a half a second, you go, Cena's out there, he teased the whole Logan Paul YouTuber champion thing, are they actually gonna do it? And then Cody showed up and was like, okay, they're not doing it, good.
Yeah, it was like,
There was a half a second. It's like, maybe, just maybe. But yeah,
match was good. They got to tease us, right? They got to tease us with that.
But Cody says, made the challenge. It's a tag match, and we'll get it at Money in the Bank. There were rumors that it would have been a larger tag match for Money in the Bank. And maybe it still becomes that. Who knows? We got 9 days. So things could change.
What, they want two more people at it?
There were rumors, yes.
There are rumors. Ooh, chat, there are rumors. Ooh.
Have you heard the rumors?
I have not. Tell me.
Fiend, 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 Fiend,
Fiend,
Fiend, Fiend, Fiend, Fiend.
Oh, Finn.
No, Fiend, the song. Think about it from WrestleMania. 15 minutes coming to the ring. Fiend, 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 Fiend.
One, I didn't know that song was called that, too. Oh, no. No, they can't. No, don't. No. No. Because who do you balance him with?
Jimmy.
I mean, I'm not mad at that. But at the same time, I'm not enamored with the idea. Like, I like it being Jay, Cena, Cody, and Logan, because that continues the feuds on, that restarts Cena and Cody again, and you can begin to build Cena and Cody, which will likely be the capstone of Cena's retirement. I'm just gonna say it now. I don't think you need to add Travis Scott to this, and I wouldn't mind Jimmy, like Jimmy's always cool, but I don't think you need to add two additional people to this. I think you can, especially in your time frame, which is 9 days, get through this A-OK, because like, how do you explain it? Does Dwayne come back and say, oh, hey, I'm going to chuck Travis Scott in for funsies?
No, I don't think you get it, but that was a rumor at one point.
I'm trying to understand it, because it's like Logan Paul and Travis Scott don't necessarily have a connection on TV. Now they could have a connection in real life. And they could kind of like cobble something together where it's like, well, Travis Scott has stood against Cody Rhodes and he stood against technically Jey Uso because he's a part of, you know, the Final Boss and blah, 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 blah. But I don't know if you have the time or really the need to do that, because I feel like to set that up and go through all of that takes away from the actual feud, which is the core four that are currently set. Like, I think you could put that on and you get a really good match out of it. It'd be perfectly entertaining. It would do everything it needs to do. And I think it would be just as good without Jimmy and without Travis.
Yeah, you leave it as the four, but that was the thing. But that was Saturday Night's Main Event.
That was Saturday Night's Main Event. It was a solid 2 hours. It was entertaining. It's exactly what you wanted, at least for me. Like, I don't want to sit here and like have to stress or really worry about or think about it. Like, the fact that you could have it on, you could watch it, you can enjoy it, and then you were done. That's exactly what it needs to be. Nothing Indeed. More than that. But that means we're done, doesn't it?
It does mean that we're done, which means Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's another edition of CB Radio Live. Figuring something out. I think we're doing Would You Rather this week. I think that's the plan. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, Sunday night, 7 p.m. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview Money in the Bank, Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show. Whenever Monday Night Raw ends, we live to talk all about it. And then we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk Money in the Bank on The Rack. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcast, just search The Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.org/chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use Creator Code Rocket Talk or
Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item store, or Epic Game Store, when you buy Star Wars and all the other things, because we are.
We are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/Linz Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok at Linz Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, that's mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211, for all his fantastic content. Like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi, because he's an amazing guy and he puts together some really, really, really cool stuff. So go check it out when you get a chance. Server Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.